Well, this has been a fight. From Angelo Monday said to me, he says, why don't you preach Sunday night? And I said, I really don't want to do that. I'd have to do it sitting down. And how would that look, preaching faith from a walker? He says, no, I think you ought to do it. Go ahead and do it anyway. And I said, okay. 2 hours later, I had the worst pain from kidney stones that I thought I could ever bear up under. And I mean, I was up till 5 o'clock in the morning, just a moaning and a groaning. I even told Angelo, Billy, I said, listen, I'm going to be in this back of the house here. You let me moan in peace. Yeah. And you know, we can act holier than thou, but we're not. We're just people, and we're trying to find our way, and God's helping us all this time. So I had this pain, and then at 5 o'clock in the morning, Frank, it took me that long, and it dawned on me. Oh, it's just you, Satan. You can leave now. I don't want to have any more to do with you. As soon as I said that, that pain went away. And I thought, why didn't I do that earlier? I just didn't recognize my enemy right away. We need to do that. Recognize him right away and rebuke him and let him go. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, brother, up there in the sound booth. And I think Jeremiah sent you my scriptures. And there's usually I have a whole slew of scriptures, but I didn't have too many this time. And you're probably all saying, praise the Lord. But anyway, starting in Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 1. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't got, Sherry, to that part in my life where I can say glory, hallelujah, in tribulation. I'm getting there because I realize the end result. I will have victory in Jesus. So glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or endurance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope doesn't disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. And one of the things I kept on looking for was a good definition of hope, Pastor Kelly. And here's what the Lord revealed to me. He said, you know, Millie, hope is this. It's the expectation of an unseen reality. That's what hope is. Because Angelo asked me, he said all through this, he's going to, now, Millie, I want you to search your heart. I want you to see if you can figure out, maybe you missed it. Maybe this is part of sowing and reaping, and I understand that concept. Maybe I did miss it, or maybe, so I searched, and I told him what I thought. Well, maybe it was this. And he said, no, I don't think it's that. We went on with that, and I just kept praying about that, and the Lord showed me some other things and gave me that definition of hope. And I went on praying about it, and, you know, when you're in the middle of something, you can choose to put that problem on the throne, or you can keep Jesus there. Amen. And it's hard. Because when you're hurting, all you can think of, ask Frank, bless his heart. He drove me to physical therapy. And I mean, I was screaming the whole way at the top of my lungs. I mean, not just a little scream. I mean, excruciating pain, Sherry. And they said, Kelly says, Mom, you can't go to physical therapy. I mean, you can't even get in the car without screaming. So we ended up in the emergency room, and they did a CT scan. And in that CT scan, they said I had spinal stenosis, degenerative disc disease. I don't know how many kidney stones, but a bunch. And then I went to physical therapy about a week later, and they said, well, you probably have a bulging disc besides and some inflammation in your hip joint. And I thought, oh, my gosh. I shouldn't have got that CT scan. That is just a lot to handle, you know, Billy. But these are just physical things. And we have to go beyond the physical because we don't walk in the physical, do we? As Christians, Brother Larry, we walk by what? Faith. Amen. And I thought, well, I got to get on the faith side of this thing because if I dwell in the physical side, I'm just going to go to pieces here. And I can't lie to you. Did I get depressed? Oh, yeah, from time to time. From time to time. Angel talked to me. You know, that sort of thing. But, you know, and even today, what happened today? How did the devil fight me today? Well, I get home from church, and I'm waiting for my loving husband because we two took separate vehicles. And an hour goes by, and I'm sitting outside, and I'm thinking, man, I got to pee. I mean, I'm just being real. So I text him. I have to pee and I can't use my key. It won't work. He had his phone off. Another hour goes by and I think I'm seeing waves in my eyeballs. And I'm thinking, So I text him again. Something up with you? Are you all right? Nothing. So then I call him. And he says, I'm at Taco Bell. I'm going, now, sister, I'm going to be honest with you. Sister Millie wanted to get in the flesh. I'm just telling you. And I said, Lord, Frank, I had to go, Lord, help me not to get in the flesh with my husband. Because right now, I need him so much. I mean, he has to help me. So I don't want to get in the flesh with him and be mean to him because he might regret helping me sometimes. So he got in there, and Kelly would have been so proud of me. Hi, sweetie. How are you? Could you open the door for me? I really have to go to the bathroom. So he did. He fixed that door, and we got right in. And I think I was in that bathroom 15 minutes, Jill. I thought, oh. But anyway, that's how the Lord does the Satan fights you. I mean, it's every step of the way until we got here tonight where I could preach. So don't expect it to be all roses down here. It's a fight. It's a battle. And you got to choose every day. Amen. Every day who you're going to put on that throne. Who are you going to put on the throne of your heart? And who's going to rule over your life? It's not always easy. I've got to be honest with you. There's times when I don't always, sometimes I do get in the flesh, Angel. And Angel can tell you I'm not pretty when I do it. Now, I'm not really a cuss or anything, but I'll make you think that it, you know. Let's go to Hebrews 11:1. How am I doing for a sitting down position? Am I doing okay? All right. Now, 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I always liked that verse. I memorized that verse, but I never really understood that verse because there's a lot of words in it. So I put it in my own words using that definition that I just gave you of hope. Now, faith is the substance or the essence of reality. Okay. Of things hoped for. The expectation for or the evidence or proof of reality not seen and the manifestation of that unseen reality in you. I understood that. I am waiting for every morning when I wake up, Sherry, I'm waiting for the manifestation of an unseen reality, which is my healing in my body. I already have my healing. Jesus paid for it. It's done. But it's not yet manifested. And it's not God's fault. It's my fault. Because every once in a while, I put the wrong person or the wrong thing on that throne. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 12. Chapter 1, 6 through 12. Here we go. In this you greatly rejoice. So now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to be to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The genuineness of your faith. Now, here's one thing that always kind of amazed me about certain individuals. And this is where I was missing the mark, because I told Angela one of the things I have to be careful of is being too judgy. I'm being honest with you. Because I don't see the genuineness of faith in some people. But you know what? It's not my place. Let them work out their own salvation and their own genuineness of faith. So the genuineness of faith, this here is gold. It's not the best gold, it's Walmart gold. But it's gold. And there's a certain way that they purify gold. It's under by fire. And they just keep on taking off the dross, you know. And they say it's purified when you can see your own reflection in it. While we're here, we are being purified. Because the genuineness of our faith is tested. And that's what's happening right now with each one of us. With each one of us. Don't think for 1 minute you're going to go through this life and not be tested. Amen. Whoopee, whoopee. I remember Sister Parsons, she told me one time, they told me I had breast cancer. They said, Millie, you got breast cancer. I said, no, I don't believe I got breast cancer. I don't think I want that. But I got down in the dumps, and Miss Parsons got a hold of me, and I think she was going to shake me out of my boots. Now listen to me. Millie, where's your faith at? Get it up. Work it. You ain't got breast cancer. Come on now. And that woman, she made me believe that whatever they said I had, I didn't have because Jesus said I didn't have to have it. And I didn't have it. Now, was that the end of all my trials? No, look at here. Here I am. Again. And Kelly and Casey and a number of you have seen me go through a lot of trials. Not always in the best form, but I went through them. Just as you will go through yours. Who are you going to put on the throne? What are you going to do about it? So here we are in 1 Peter 6 through 12. Much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to be praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you loved, through now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. We're all running a race here, and it's not won by being Speedy Gonzales, but it's by being faithful. And that's the truth. Let's look at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. know what happens to people when you get in the flesh with them? Do you know what happens with them, Kelly Mae? They retaliate in the same manner. So save yourself the misery. Don't ever do that unless you want to face it. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Again, count it all joy. Really? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, here's that word that Kelly used this morning, and I can't believe she used it. Remember she said about Abraham that he was what? Tested. All right. And this says, knowing that the testing of your faith. So what's good for Abraham is good for Millie. It's good for Jill, for Sam, Angelo, Granny. We're all going to be tested in one way or another. If any of us lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. It's like having two spirits, one that's after God and one that's not. That's what that double-minded means. Unstable in all his ways. God's calling you to a place of stability and grounded in him on a solid foundation. And in this world, that ain't easy. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Endurance. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm exercising endurance. I don't like to exercise endurance because sometimes that means I'm also suffering. And I am, but I'm not going by that. The race that sets before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured again the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Even Jesus endured the cross for us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25. Let's not do that one. That'll take too much time. One of the things that I found that I have to consider my present circumstances, not from a human perspective, but from a godly perspective. Your faith, and me being in the medical field, it's much harder because I can relate to physical findings. But from a godly perspective, I don't have to relate to them. They're not going to bind me up. But I can be free from that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. This is the woman with the issue of blood. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour on. She touched just the hem of his garment. She was made whole. She had went to lots of doctors and things, physical findings and all kinds of stuff, and I'm sure they did stuff. And but in the end, the one person she had to get her eyes locked in on and her faith settled in on was Jesus. That he was, no matter which way, that the Lord uses to heal you. And he can do it in a number of ways. He can do it in the physical realm with a surgeon. He can do it in the supernatural realm. He can do it with medicine. Whatever way he chooses to heal you, all the healing comes from him. And you have to realize that, you know, you have to be open to whichever way he chooses to use and not closed off. We've been talking about the genuineness of your faith, authentic faith, and I'm not going to go over everything that was about genuine faith, but knowing that you have to get to that place where you have or get genuine faith is of utmost importance. It's dependent on your salvation. That's how important it is. The way to genuine faith is you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to be of knowledge of that, and you have to have faith that he is your Savior. So then you have to repent. You have to receive the Holy Spirit who seals you. You have to surrender. We sing a song called I Surrender All. Do you really? Have you really surrendered all? I haven't gotten there myself, but I'm in the process. I'm running that race, and I'm getting to that point where I surrender all. I hope to live 140 years, but I have to get to that point where I lay Millie down more each day. To obey, to pursue him in his word, in his prayer, in his fellowship, in praise, and then to enjoy his presence. Characteristics of genuine faith. And I will give you some scriptures on this because a lot of people have that question. Well, do I have genuine faith? Am I in the right direction? Or maybe sometimes you may wonder about your children. Do you see that in them? And in your quiet moments during Bible study, you can share these with them. Characteristics of genuine faith: endure temptation. It's easy to fall into temptation. When you fall, lots of people say stumble. Well, a stumble comes right before a fall. Let's avoid the stumble and the fall. So endure temptation. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 13 is an example. Faith without works is dead. We don't talk about, you know, works does not save you. But if you have faith, there's going to be works. It's a consequence of having that faith. See? It's just like if I was to do 100 sit-ups, there would be the consequences. You may actually see some abs on me. I'm never going to show them to you, but you might. I'll show them to Angelo. And I'm not going to do 100 sit-ups. So faith without works is dead. Faith, I don't think I've got much of an ear. It just keeps falling out. Faith produces wisdom. Like today, what happened to me with Angelo, I thought, oh, I really want to get in the flesh with that man and lay into him when I see him. But then I thought, you know what? Wisdom got the better part of me, and it said, you know what? Keep your mouth shut. James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. Faith produces humility, Colossians 3:12, James 4:10. You get someone that's talking about themselves all the time, what they can do and how they can do it and how great they are and all that other stuff. don't believe it. If they're talking about Jesus and what he does for them and in their lives, there you go. It's a dependency on our Savior. Faith produces dependency. James 4:15. And the last place I'm going to go to tonight is Mark chapter 3, verse 33. This thing is just a dangling. 1554. But he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brother?" And he looked around in the circle of those who sat about him and said, "Here are my brother, my mother, my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my mother and my sister, is my brother and my sister and my mother." Kinship is not determined, spiritual kinship is not determined by blood. It's determined by doing the will of the Father. Then you're his sister, his mother, his brother, and you're kin with him. Now, here's the thing that the world says. Sam, the world will ask, "What's in your wallet?" And the answer would be, I think it's American Express, isn't it? Capital One. Here's the other question. Who sits in the throne of your heart? That's where I'm at today. That's where I'm at today. Every day. Who sits on the throne of my heart? Am I doing his will? You have a new revelation today. Ask yourself this every day. Who's sitting on the throne of your heart? And will I choose to do his will today? Will there be a change in me? That when I'm up against another trial or tribulation, I go through it the right way. And I depend on him. And that's what I have for you today.
Amen. Stay right there, sweetie.